And Tracy Morgan in with you with your extended news at noon. Thank you very much for sticking with us for the rest of this hour. For a few minutes, I wanted to take some time with a couple of ladies talking about a particular survey, if you will, some information that has come to them with Butler County Drug and Alcohol Program about young people in our area. Lisa Gill is with us with the Butler County Human Services Drug and Alcohol Program. Also, Beth Ehrenfried-Nephew, she is the Drug and Alcohol Supervisor. Well, Beth, thank you very much for being here. Lisa, thank you very much for being here as well.
Thank you.
Let me ask you about this, because it is a serious topic when we're talking about drug and alcohol. And we're talking about young people in the area. And first, Beth, I'll ask you, can you give us this latest information that's come to you about the state of our young people when it comes to drug and alcohol?
Well, I certainly can. To back up just a little bit, our agency, just like every other single county authority in the state, had done a needs assessment, needs and resource assessment, over the 18 months from 2018 to current, and looking at a lot of the different data. And through that process, we found that underage drinking and actually even adult alcohol use was the county's number one substance use issue. So from there, we also, and a lot of the information that we got, a lot of the data came from our Pennsylvania Youth Survey, which is also called PAYS. Alcohol was the number one choice among youth and adults. That's according to the National Institute on Drug and Alcohol Abuse. Early alcohol and drug use increases the chance of developing a problem in youth and adult because teens' brains are still developing until about 25. Just in Butler County, what we found through the PAYS was 31.9% of students showed a willingness to use alcohol, indicating that they would like to try it or use it or would use it any chance that they got. 50% of them that were surveyed used alcohol at least once in his or her lifetime. And these are all compared to statewide that were actually higher than Pennsylvania state statistics. 22.6 Butler County youth surveyed reported using alcohol in the last 30 days, and 10.8% of students in Butler County engaged in binge drinking in the past 2 weeks of them taking the survey, and that was 12th graders, which, again, was higher than the statewide statistics.
When you're talking about 12th graders, do you have statistics about even earlier than that? What's the age that you're seeing that young people start to drink alcohol?
Well, the PAYS survey itself is administered through with ages or grades 6, 8th, 10th, and 12th. And we do see at least that willingness to try to experiment as early as 6th grade. Very low numbers, a little bit higher in the 8th grade, and by 10th grade, we're starting to see those numbers go up, and specifically, as you mentioned, in 12th grade is when the statistics are a little bit higher.
And this was the 2019 PA Youth Survey. What did you see in the way of numbers of an increase, decrease in past surveys?
All of the alcohol use data had increased across the board. But I do have to give a caveat with that. In the 2017 and 2015 PAYS, we had much less of a sample. Not all of our school districts participated. At that time, like back in 15, I think we only had one county school district. And then in 2017, we only had two or three. I think it was three that participated. So in 2019, we actually had six out of the seven school districts participate. So the numbers are going to go up, with that.
Lisa, let me turn to you and ask you, is there a reason that you're seeing that kids even start to drink in the first place, or are there a myriad of reasons?
There are definitely a myriad of reasons. As far as just, it could be that they don't have the coping skills that they need to to be able to deal with the stresses. It could be peer pressure. You know, maybe they're bored and think that it's okay. And a lot of what we're seeing and what we're going to talk about at our event, at our town hall meeting, is just even parental attitudes and the norms and laws surrounding alcohol use. A lot of times it's just not seen like as if it's a big deal. And so we want to talk about that at our town hall meeting as well, and just be able to inform people about that so that we can be on the watch and just help prevent this in young kids. Because as Beth said, the earlier the alcohol use starts, the more likely they are to develop a problem. And so, you know, we in our office, we see people who have problems, who have been struggling for a long time. And so for us to be able to prevent it in the first place is huge. And just being able to help people live their lives in a way that is just to their fullest.
Yeah. And let me ask you, Lisa, what is a good way to handle this at home? And I ask it that way because I know parents are the role models. And mm-hmm. if there's excessive use, then I can understand why a young person would see that. If it's not excessive and it's just in the household and it's not made to be a big deal, does that cause a problem? Or is it teaching a lesson that alcohol is around, it's out there, but it does not have to be used in excess?
And that's a good question, and I think a lot of parents have that question, which is why we wanted to have our town hall meeting. Because, you know, the data shows that at age 6, kids have negative attitudes toward alcohol for sure. But come age 9 to 12, that starts to change because of maybe things that they see in their world or in the media, you know, that shows that it's not a big deal. And so if they're seeing that, then, you know, their defense is, I guess, kind of, you could say they just kind of lower and they think, well, okay, not a big deal. And maybe my friends are trying it. So, it, you know, it's not anything that will lead to anything serious. And so what I'm going to be sharing at our town hall meeting are just different ways that parents can start talking to their kids as young as age 8 to 11 is a good age to be able to start talking about kids as their attitudes start to shift, but also because that's kind of like a sweet spot in the window of when your kids are most receptive to hearing from you and adopting your ideas and your views. So that's what I'm going to be sharing, is just different ways to be able to talk about it. As simple as, you know, if you see a billboard or see something in a movie, you know, it maybe that it makes alcohol use look glamorous or like it's a lot of fun, but doesn't show the consequences of it. That's a great conversation starter with a young child. But then there are also ways to talk about it with your teen too, and it's not too late if they're past that 8 to 11, that age range to be able to start talking to your kids about it.
Beth, can you give us more details about the town hall September 22nd? How do we be a part of this? Is this in person? Is it virtual? Can you talk about that?
I can answer that. That is, it's Tuesday, September 22nd from 6:30 to 8. And it will be a virtual platform. You know, of course, we had planned to have this as an in-person event, but with all the different restrictions we have, we thought it would be best to hold it virtually. And we're really looking forward to the opportunity that brings, because hopefully we'll have a lot more people who are able to participate because they can do it from home. And so it will be a Zoom platform, and there will be registration information that will be out soon. We'll be advertising it a lot on social media. You'll see flyers out in the community as well, and where people can just go to our Butler First Step page on Facebook. If you go into Facebook and search Butler First Step, you can like that, and then you'll see the information that we continue to post on it as we lead up to the event.
So, Lisa, will we be able to be on this Zoom call and be able to be interactive? Can we ask a question? Will you have time for that?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We have three presenters, Mark Peffer, Chief Deputy from the Butler County Sheriff's Office, Jeff Hogan, the Systems Change Specialist from the Epicenter at Penn State University, and myself. We'll all be covering just 10 to 15 minutes of information. And then at the end, after we've all spoken, there will be a question and answer session that, you know, parents or teenagers, kids, any questions they have can be asked. Probably we we don't have the specifics yet, but it'll probably be through chat, and we'll take those questions and ask them to whichever person they're directed to of the presenters. So there will be a lot of time for interaction as well.
Again, that'll be September 22nd, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. This will be a town hall talking about the pays and the different ways that you can help your kids, talk to your kids about staying alcohol free. Beth, I am going to turn back to you if you don't mind, because the information that you were sharing with us, how do we compare to the rest of the state? Is Butler County doing well, or are we not doing well?
It's kind of hard to say whether or not we're doing better or not compared to other counties in the state. We're all doing our own types of research and data collection and putting different strategies and prevention programs out there to address the different issues. Every county has their own that they've identified. North, it's methamphetamine. Other counties, it's marijuana is their number one issue with youth. So I think it's we can look at it as a way and compare it to other counties or compare it to the state, but I think it's important for us too to just really look at our own issues and try to move forward and making an impact. Excuse me, an impact with the programs, activities, and strategies that we're going to implement to try to address the problem. This is a new process for us, so we're still at the beginning, and this is one of our first major events to really put the information out there to the community, and we're going to be building off of that and hopefully even using some of the community input that we have. And after the town hall meeting, we'll have some follow-up activities, ways that parents or community members can either get involved or stay involved with the different coalitions or programs that we have out there. So we're still at the beginning of that process. So in addition to the underage drinking, as we mentioned, we'll probably be moving forward with some of the other issues that we had identified through our needs assessment. So we might be able to have some other opportunities to meet with you and get the word out to our community members. And we welcome anyone to join us in our efforts.
Again, the information coming from 2019, what do you expect that you may possibly see if this is done again for 2020? Do you find that because of the pandemic, because of the life that we're living right now, do you think that you'll see an increase? Do you think you'll see a decrease?
Well, the goal is always to have a decrease, but the Department of Drug and Alcohol knows, especially with when you're looking at norms and perceptions, it's not something that changes overnight. So with the things that are happening in our community, the major changes in schools as a result of COVID-19, and just how people are feeling much more, having more stress, unemployment, and everything that goes along with that, I wouldn't be surprised if the data did get worse in the 2021 pays. But the process that we do and that the Department of Drug and Alcohol has allowed us is 12 years. So we're going to revisit in 6 years just to see, you know, hopefully that some of the strategies that we're implementing in the community are having a positive effort or effect. And if not, then maybe we re-strategize and see, you know, where we can make a more positive impact with that.
Lisa, let me go back to you for a moment. And how have you been handling the past many months? Not just, I know you're planning this event September 22nd for the town hall. For the Butler mm-hmm. County Human Services Drug and Alcohol Program, have you been on hiatus? Have you just been working in a different way? Are you planning ahead for these kinds of events virtually? Can you talk about the past many months with the pandemic?
Sure. I can talk just from my experience as a prevention specialist. A large part of my job is going into the schools to do prevention programs with fourth graders. And I had two classes scheduled after the schools shut down. So there were two schools of fourth graders who didn't get the prevention program that I usually deliver. And so that in and of itself, you know, just to look at how kids are being affected by the lock, how they were affected by the lock, lockdown, you know, they didn't get that information that, you know, a lot of those prevention programs that we use are evidence-based and have proven that they have outcomes to be able to help deter kids from early use and from any kind of drug use. And so, like I said, there were two schools that didn't get the prevention programming just in Butler, you know, and so there are other schools across the state and across the United States who didn't have those prevention programs, and those kids don't have the support that they need. And so we have been focusing on looking at what might we be able to do in schools virtually now, since we don't know yet whether or not we'll be able to actually step foot inside of the schools, but changing gears so that we can make sure that we can still deliver prevention programs, but also things like the town hall meeting that have more of a community focus.
And I know you can't anticipate this, but do you think that virtual programs will have as much of an impact for kids versus being in front of them? And I ask that because I've worked in my industry for quite some time. I've worked with audiences for quite some time. And there is a difference whenever you're not mm-hmm. in front of people physically. And not that it's good or bad in my industry, but it could be in yours. What's your thought on that?
You know, I would like to be hopeful and say that they would have the same impact. But it's really neat to see the different people that are coming together across the state to be able to share with each other different ideas and strategies for delivering the programs in a way that's just as effective. And so I was just on a call the other day for a specific program, and they had some really great ideas to be able to, you know, if you're going to deliver it virtually, but the kids are in a classroom, then you work with the teacher to be able to deliver that program, and you still are able to teach the subject. You're able to teach the subject matter and get the points across. But yeah, I mean, I think we all miss out whenever there's less interaction, less face-to-face interaction. But that doesn't mean that we're going to stop, because we know just how important that is for the kids to be able to get that information and to learn from that.
Before I ask you your final thoughts, I'll ask both of you your final thoughts. Let me ask you this one question, because you have this platform right now, at least to talk to people in this forum. Beth, if you had one piece of advice that you would give young people right now, what is your advice to them?
Probably look to your parents. Look for ways that you can stay connected, whether it's in person, for in your internal family, or if it's with friends, stay connected virtually, through their cell phones and through their social media. When someone is feeling overstressed or not comfortable, reach out to others. I know it's not always easy for youth to do that, but I think it's important that families stick together and recognize maybe when someone is not their self, maybe they're feeling more down, more isolative, so that, that if something, and then to reach out to those agencies in the community who might be able to help. I think schools are going to be a great support for the kids once they get back. I think having no schools all the way, since March has really created a sense of distance. But I think getting the kids back to school will really be a positive thing, whether it's online or in person.
Lisa, what's your piece of advice?
And I would say this, very similar to what Beth said, to be able to stay connected as much as you can. And, some young people don't have parents maybe who support them, but there are definitely people out there who care about them in the community and in the school. And so, one of the things that I really appreciate doing as part of my job was going out to the DARE program graduations last year, and just looking at all of the people from law enforcement to even, elected officials and principals and superintendents and teachers who were there, just to be able to cheer them on and help them to just be able to make good decisions. There are people out there who just have an interest in youth as individuals, but also just the overall success of our community. And so I think if youth can look to and find a mentor, that will be a huge thing for them as they move forward to stay drug and alcohol free.
Beth Ehrenfried-Nephew, she is the drug and alcohol supervisor. Lisa Gill is a prevention specialist with the Butler County Human Services Drug and Alcohol Program. Ladies, I do appreciate your time, and before I do let you go, I do want to ask you your final thoughts. Of course, folks, the town hall is September 22nd, 6:30 to 8. You'll get more information as that comes out on how you can sign up for that with the Butler County Drug and Alcohol Program. But I think a virtual town hall is an excellent idea at this point, and I think it'll go off very well. But as we're talking about youth and underage drinking, Beth, what are your final thoughts that you'd like to leave with us today?
My final thoughts would be, again, we are here. This is what we're all about at our office, is to help youth, to help adults, to remain as much as possible, you know, substance use free, and that there is a continuum. So prevention is a very important step in our office here to prevent something that may become a problem later. But that I do want to also share that we are here for those that maybe it is a problem as well, for to be able to provide some type of intervention, treatment, or recovery services. So I just want to add that to that, if people are feeling during this difficult time that they're struggling with any type of substance use, that our agency is here to help.
And Lisa?
I think, you know, in looking at the information as we're preparing for the town hall meeting, you know, keep thinking about how growing up, you know, a lot of kids don't think that experimenting with alcohol is a big deal. But the reason that we have laws on the books and those rules in schools and all the protective strategies is because we know that, you know, drinking too young, it can just do a great deal of harm to an individual, an adolescent's brain, and just their life in general. So even though, you know, it might not seem like it's a big deal, it could lead to things that just are life-changing, and we just don't want to see that happen to young people in our community. So, you know, just to remember that even experimenting with alcohol could be something that is just life-changing.
And where's the best place for us to check for the information when it comes out on when we can register for this town hall?
People can like our Butler First Step page on Facebook. So if they just go to Facebook and put that in the search, it will come up and they can like it and follow it. And then that way they'll see the posts as the information comes up. Or they could just go directly to our website. It's just www.butlerfirststep.org. And we'll have all the information on there as well.
Thank you, ladies, so much, Beth and Lisa.
Well,
it has been a fabulous conversation.
You.
It'll be interesting with the town hall, and we do appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Tracy.
Yep, thank you.